Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks,
the Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey now, everybody, welcome to episode 275 of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. I'm Trevor Anderson. I'm going to send you over to Jason Rugard because he has a rundown for us.
Doing the box office ace prediction games, we got our predicts for Ant-Man and Trainwreck. Some trivia for you, a little bit of debating on this new conversation piece about Ben Affleck appearing as Batman in some future films by himself. Also, reviews for Ted 2, Big Eyes, Alien Outpost, and Mystery Men. Also, the trailers are in for Batman vs. Superman, Goosebumps, The Finest Hours, Robin Williams' last performance in Boulevard, the trailer for I Am Chris Farley, and Ash vs. the Evil Dead. So it's going to be a short show, but a good one. Stick with us as we get to the box office.
It's not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
Let's play the HSX.com box office prediction game.
Or the box office ace prediction game, if you have a go.
Whatever you want to call it.
Exactly.
We're good either way at this point.
Tomato, tomato.
I don't give a shit.
Let's call the whole thing on. Yeah. Minions was seen in droves over the weekend.
I'm not sure why that happened, but $115 million over the weekend. Which is way bigger than either of the Despicable Me movies.
Yeah, I said 102 last weekend, and you thought I was crazy going over that 100 million.
I said 85. I knew that there was love for this movie, but I didn't know people loved Minions this much.
It's a full-on love affair, and we will be seeing a lot of Minions sequels and spinoffs, I imagine, in the coming years, especially merchandising-wise.
What else? Gallows. Everything else pretty much sucked, right? The Gallows, $10 million is a little low for it, really. Should be, you'd want like $15 million, you know, something like that, right?
I went 11, you went 13, I believe, or 12. Mm-hmm. So we were right in the ballpark on that. And Selfless was DOA as expected. You said 6, I said 7. It actually opened up with the high fives.
So she's a low.
Do you know that that was directed by Tarzan Singh, who I'm a big fan of?
I know, you love him.
I did not realize that that film was directed by him.
I do not like it. Yeah, when we watched the trailer, I told you.
I just, there's no mention in the trailer, you know, from the
it's
director.
It's on, I believe it's recorded in the show, so.
It might be proof.
There's proof that I told you about that, because he's your boy, you like him.
I do like him.
I do not.
Ant-Man this weekend is really the big question mark. I think Trainwreck, which premieres also this weekend, is going to find its audience no matter what. And I think Ant-Man will find an audience, but I just don't know if it'll be ant-sized. You like that? I was waiting all show to do that. Dropped it.
Well, that's right. Well, at least you didn't say, well, I guess if Trainwreck would be a train wreck.
Oh, there you go. You know?
Yeah, I do know.
There you go. I'm dropping the mic.
All right. What's your guesses?
I'm going to go 53 on Ant-Man.
On Ant-Man, I'm going to go 68.
The bar is at 60, according to HSX there. So,
which is basically, I mean, you're looking at Thor, right?
You went Thor. I actually went a little bit of a less distinguished comparison. I went Green Lantern on this. So,
the Green Lantern, same thing. I mean, so you're looking at a lesser.
Secondary.
You know, you're not Superman, not Batman, right? Yeah, I mean, you did a DC comparison. I was just doing, because I don't think this is clearly this isn't going to be looked at like a Green Lantern. This is going to be looked at like a Marvel movie.
I wonder, you know, they had that uptick after the Avengers came out with everything Marvel after that saw an uptick from the first installment. I wonder if the opposite happens now that the Avengers 2 came out and it wasn't quite what people were expecting, didn't perform as well as the first one. And I wonder if this phase 3 is hurt at all by that, if things are on a downwards trend.
Maybe, but how can you tell? I mean, Ant-Man certainly isn't.
It's not the norm.
It's not a movie that you can even tell that with, right? You have to wait for Captain America or something.
Yeah, because not even Fantastic Four.
But you might be right. Yeah, Fantastic Four is whatever. It's its own thing.
Now, Trainwreck is going to connect with its audience out there. This is already great buzz going into the weekend with this. And there's been really a lack of a comedy, a summer breakout comedy. Spy did well. Ted is inching along and turning a profit, essentially. But this could be the one. This is getting great, great early reviews here. And Judd Apatow needs a hit just as bad as anybody in Hollywood now. So
sounds like you're going in the 2-0s here.
I'm going to actually go 30 on this one.
Wow.
Where are you going?
Well, now I'm a little worried. I was going to go 18.
18?
Yeah.
No, I'm going 30 for this. I think the comparable on this is Knocked Up, or to that extent. People that I didn't even know that knew who Amy Schumer was are talking about this movie, and they did a great job marketing this during the NBA Finals, especially with LeBron James and the sports angle here. A lot of people saw this trailer and were kind of laughing.
Well,
a lot
of people are talking about this. I'm going to go – well, then I'm going to – I can't go 18 then. How can I do that?
What are you going to go with then? I'm glad I can convince you. I'm a silver tongue son of a bitch.
Yeah. Okay, well, then I guess I'll just go 25.
There you go. He takes the bar. It opens up with 16, too.
Yeah, I think that's going to open up with 18.
if you fuckers. Think you can outguess the movie Mavericks, go to Box Office Ace. You obviously can. There are three people that are doing it right
you
now.
You can. You can do it.
Go to Box Office Ace, see who those people are, get in the game, and play along with us every week, which just is a tempting offer right now. Hey, I have some trivia for you. How about this?
I don't want it.
You do. You do. Die Hard was originally put together from the parts of a failed script. Do you know what that failed script was? It was a sequel to an action film.
Oh, you know what?
You and I both like.
Yeah, I mean, I do. Commando.
Commando 2, correct. Yes.
I knew that. And Schwarzenegger was supposed to be in it. And who else? There was a whole slew of people that were offered it before Bruce Willis.
Yeah, but you're right, though. It started off a lot of the scenes because John Matrix, which was Schwarzenegger's character in Commando, was going to be trapped in a high-rise in L.A. That was the whole idea there. So, it was also offered. I mean, it went around
everybody. Stallone, I think, it was even offered.
I think everybody turned it down. Yeah. I think even Burt Reynolds turned it down at one point.
Yeah, he was offered it, too.
And a little bit of trivia here is that Pierce Brosnan, I found this out, was contractually forbidden to wear a full tuxedo in any film that was not a James Bond movie from 1995 to 2002.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
So they couldn't, no one could try to profit on the James Bond look. Makes sense.
I wonder if he was allowed to wear the tuxedo t-shirt in any film.
Well, sure. I mean, I think birthday suit would have been what I would have gone with, but.
Okay. As long as he doesn't have a run by fruiting, he's all right. How about this news that Ben Affleck is going to not only appear in Batman versus Superman, but he is going to take the reins and write, direct, and star in a movie that's being tentatively titled The Batman?
Well, I don't know about you, but I kind of find that exciting.
You do now. You do.
Yeah, I think that I like Ben Affleck as a director. So far, I like where Superman versus Batman is going. I don't have the whole story yet, obviously. It could be horrible, but it actually looks pretty decent. So, yeah, I'm down. Yeah, let him do it.
I'm not against this either. And the fact that they're titling it The Batman is good. This is looking like they're going to take another.
Is it good, or are we just running out of fucking things to call Batman movies?
It feels like it's more of like going back to, honestly, everyone always says like the 1940s film noir kind of aspect.
That's just Batman, though. I mean, that's Gotham, right? That Superman's the same way, Metropolis. It doesn't feel like a modern day city ever.
Yeah.
And it really shouldn't.
It should be a parallel universe in a lot of ways. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, as much as I liked how Batman, or The Dark Knight, I should say, had used Chicago locations and whatnot, the Batman Begins had a certain futuristic vibe to it that I thought was totally abandoned in The Dark Knight, and really The Dark Knight Rises in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're kind of right in that, especially with the train and stuff like that. Yeah, it did look a little more futuristic.
Let's get to the review section today's show. You saw Big Eyes, the Burton movie that was a Christmas release that I thought was going to do very well and kind of came and went quietly.
Yeah.
Was this worth anything or not?
Yeah, it's surprisingly pretty fucking good. The only bad thing I could say about it is the Danny Elfman score is just too much at a lot of points in it.
Overbearing or just?
Yeah, really hammering hard a point home. Setting it's weird. It's off-putting because it just doesn't belong. This is a drama, and you get this very melodramatic, overbearing piano stuff going on. It's just like, geez, you know, I already feel it. I don't need you helping me along here that much.
Yeah, I mean, to have the score being mentioned as taking you out of it.
It's really a great score, though. It just doesn't necessarily go with what's happening on screen. Aside from that, the acting's great. You know, Amy Adams is good in this, but Christoph Waltz is fucking top notch in this. And Tim Burton's direction is actually really good.
Is it subdued or is it?
Yes, very subdued, but it has little, you know, Tim Burton isms in it.
Eccentricities that.
But you still, even with that stuff, you might even be hard pressed to say, if you didn't know it was a Tim Burton movie, that it was a Tim Burton movie.
Honestly, Big Fish is one of my favorite of his films because of its light still, touch.
I think that's even more of a Tim Burton movie than this.
Absolutely, I would agree with the fantasy element, but I don't know this story at all. I mean, I'm coming at this as a fresh.
It's fine. You don't have to. It's actually a decent, interesting story.
That was my question. Yeah, it kept you engaged the whole time.
Yeah, it did. You know, and which is surprising because it's such a small story. But like, I mean, Christoph Waltz is funny.
Is it kind of like a dark comedy as well?
Sure. Well, it's a drama, right? It's a true story. It's a biography, but it's also kind of a crime. Not really. You got to see it because Christoph Waltz is, I don't want to ruin it. Just watch the movie. If you don't know the story, I'm sure a lot of people do because this was a big deal. It was way before our times.
Right. I only know the story from
the trailer. Courtroom scene, he's pretty funny in. I liked it. It was way better than I thought it was going to be.
That's surprising. I'm not a big Amy Adams fan, but I will give it a shot because this does look like it could be something that would be a hidden gem. And I like when Tim Burton does these small films. I like them now better than his big stuff. I mean, the Alice in Wonderland and the Charlie's.
Oh, yeah. This is way, you know, oodles. Oodles.
Oodles and oodles?
Oodles better directed. Than either of those.
Yeah. I think those are sleepwalking projects for him. And I think these are actually the things he really wants to do now.
I would agree.
Well, I saw Ted 2, which, you know, as most comedy sequels go, has a case of the sequelitis and the fact that it just can't match up to that first film. I mean, and what can really? I mean, few comedies are in that echelon of just make me laugh repeatedly when I see it. But this one is sorely missing Mila Kunis. Let me tell you that right off the bat. Yeah. And the fact that the story has, it starts off and John is recently divorced from her kind of, to me, nullifies the whole first movie.
The first one. I know. I hate it when they do that. It almost ruins the whole thing. You know, you really should, you have to bring her back, you know, because it makes the first one just ridiculous. And it makes him, I don't know, when they do that, doesn't it make you feel like they're kind of an asshole?
It's something like, yeah, like what's wrong with
what happened? Yeah.
He's like, this guy's just an insufferable bastard. No one can live with this dickhead or what?
Well, that's what he was in the first one, right? He was fucked up. So that just means what? That he didn't fix himself as we were promised.
What's strange is this one is that there's really no obstacle for the Wahlberg character. It's the just Ted character. Ted. You know, he's just kind of there now because there's no one that's stopping him from doing whatever he wants to do. You know, he's available there for Ted. He really is a supporting player in this one. Ted is the star in this one.
Suffer from the McFarlane virus of, you know, little things all over the place.
Yes, because I call that the Family Guy, you know.
I know.
Portion of it. It's very much like that. Now first of all, this movie is an hour and 55 minutes long. Let's talk about the bad first. One, it has four endings. And I'm not kidding when I say it has four endings. This movie should have ended four times before the credits roll. Two, it has two musical scenes. One is fairly cute in the first. It's kind of an Ethel Merman throwback to the choreographed line dancing and things like that with the big 40s production number. I can handle that. Now, an hour in, when they're at a campfire and you have Amanda Seyfried doing, you know, a country song or some sort of lullaby or whatever it was, that just drove me nuts. I mean, that absolutely drove me nuts. I hate that kind of shit. That's to me McFarlane indulgence right there. The good part about it is the first hour of this is hilarious. I mean, really hilarious. They bring back Patrick Warburton's character, awesome. Which is, you know, which is just very good. And they got a decent idea that they execute okay, and they ended at Comic-Con, which seems like an ideal place because if you saw Ted running around, where would he seem normal at? Fucking Comic-Con, you know what I mean? With amongst all the other costume people and things like that. So,
well, I see Giovanna Ribisi in here. Is that whole thing still active? Him stealing Ted? Is that part of this
still
at all?
Is part of it. He works for Hasbro now, and Hasbro's trying to get Ted back. And it's very interesting that Hasbro, because they have a relationship, obviously, with Universal, having done Battleship together and the Monopoly movie and things like that that are coming out, and Ouija, mm-hmm. obviously. It's interesting that they've used their company as the bad guy in this movie. I mean, I thought that was kind of strange. I know it's advertising for them.
Yeah.
But it was kind of bizarre to me at first. But
if it's
really,
a comedy, they probably, yeah.
You like the first one a lot. I like the first one a lot.
I love the first one, yeah.
There is a lot to like in the second one. Individual lines really had me. I laughed out loud probably a dozen times on the stupid shit that Ted says. Ted's an asshole. He's funny.
Then at least it's funny. Sounds like a good little tack-on thing, but it sounds like they make the mistake of ruining the universe that they could have had.
Yes. It's mm-hmm. very reminiscent in ways of Hot Tub Time Machine 2. And you laughed at that because of the raunch and kind of the factor.
I thought it was funny, but it's not a very good, you know, yeah, it doesn't add anything to the franchise.
And that's exactly what you'll say when you see this one. It's funny, but it's not a very good movie. Even the Flash relationship is off in this one. So you'll see. They do some things that countermine the first one, which bothered me a little bit. But hey, I still recommend it because when Ted's rolling and Wahlberg does a great job, playing innocence very well, like a comedic innocence, and two, he plays
well. He has the mind of a child.
Yeah, really, and the temperament of a child in this movie, and he plays the CG very well. I mean, a lot of these scenes, it's just him, and he's doing a great job. So
surprisingly, that's probably really hard to do.
Yeah, I think only him and Will Smith are this good playing next to CG characters.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's up with Alien Outpost? Speaking of
Alien Outpost, we talked about this trailer a while back. Kind of like a low-budget District 9.
Yeah, I remember this.
I don't know if you remember that at all. Yeah. A horrible movie. Don't watch it.
Really?
It's streaming right now on Netflix if you want to check it out. But just, you know, really, the aliens are hardly in it, which would be fine, but it's a mock documentary. And it's really just, you know, they've just taken Afghanistan and kind of made it into there's aliens as the bad guys.
Yeah, it's District 9. But
and
not,
so you have to sit through. Yeah, but you have to sit through these guys fighting, you know, just normal people for a while. And they sit there and they talk about all the stuff. It takes forever to get to the aliens. And I mean forever. And then they show up and then they're gone. And then again, we just do shit forever, you know. So I know good special effects for what it is, but just not a very good movie. I mean, it's a shit way to make a movie.
The problem with something like this, where they're hide to me, it sounds like the problem would be that they're hiding the aliens to the end, probably for budgetary reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
But they don't have enough interesting stuff to fill the time up to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very boring. I don't give a shit about any of the characters. Yet I'm supposed to, and I'm supposed to feel like this is a real war. Like these guys are talking like, oh, we're out here on the front line. It's like, okay, no, you know, if you have to, I don't know, you know, the best way to look at this, if you want a good movie, that handles this would be Starship Troopers, right? But it doesn't necessarily slam you in the face with it, even though they do blatantly talk about like going to war and shit like that, but at least they go to war, you know?
Right? Yeah, this is the Jarhead experience where it's all
crazy. Like you can have that stuff in the movie. I'm okay with that, but don't make that the whole movie because the movie's called Alien Outpost for crying out loud. Where the fucking aliens at?
You get some fucking aliens over here, or what?
Yeah. Yeah,
you're not recommending that.
If anyone's seen, no, because why watch this when you can watch Restrepo, which is a wonderful, real documentary about an outpost in the front lines of Afghanistan? That shit's real. Well, why would you watch this?
Yeah, this is sounds like it's just dumb. Everything. And what was that you just recommended? Restrepo?
Restrepo. If you haven't seen it, it was up for an Academy Award. Might have won, actually.
Ago. Yeah, I remember that. I think it was like 2011 or so.
Really good, though. Yeah.
And is that streaming right now?
It has been for a while, so it might be now.
Well, there you go with your streaming online pick of the week. Trevor just dropped one.
I got all kinds of them.
I caught up with one on streaming the other night that I hadn't seen since the theaters, which going back sometimes now, but Mystery Men. Do you recall this one?
I love Mystery Men.
Do you really?
I know, you don't like it. You didn't like it before.
I got a complicated history with Mystery Men. The thing is, I saw this in the theater back in the summer that it came out. I saw it in
theater too.
And I just did not, I had a problem with it, and it still has the same problem, but I liked it a little bit more now.
What's your problem with it?
All the actors in it are good with what they're doing, but they're all on different comedic tones. You got Greg Kinnear on a certain.
I know, but I almost like that about it.
Do you? Because it makes the movie so fucking. Everyone feels
like they're in a different movie. Yeah, I know.
It does. It feels like they're in a. Because I'm telling you, there's like people are playing it kind of slapstick. Some are a little bit farcical. Some are doing like verbal linguistic. It's not all wrong, over the fucking place.
Yeah.
But I will say this.
Still like it.
Greg Kinnear plays a great pompous superhero.
He's fucking funny. I know.
He really is.
That whole scene with him in the chair, I think it's funny.
Yes. The production value, they put a lot of money into that movie. And there was a brief time when Claire Forlane, or Forlani.
Claire Forlani, what happened to her?
Was like a valuable or a viable leading lady. I'll make sure she was ever valuable, but she definitely was viable. She was in this. She was in Meet Joe Black and
she's in a bunch of stuff. A
couple of Kevin Smith movies, Mallrats. But the fact of the matter is this movie still, to this day, I still think this is just a bizarre script that they got through. I mean, this thing makes no sense at all. When they go see the Sphinx.
No, it's horrible, but I still love it. Yeah, I know. I got to watch this now. It's on HBO, right?
Yeah, and it looks good. I mean, you watch this thing and you look at the sets. And I looked I did some research on it, or looked a couple of things up on it, and it did say that it was using some sets that were left over from Batman Forever, and it has that look to it, that kind of exuberant look, comic book look, and now with all these super, I wonder if this had been released today, if this does a little bit better, or if it kind of suffers the same fate as like a Kick-Ass.
Well, it's very similar to Kick-Ass, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Kick-Ass is way more, I mean, obviously violent, and
Kick-Ass is a better movie. This would be like in between Kick-Ass and Kick-Ass 2, right? Or even, I mean, to me, Mystery Men is kind of like a hokey Watchmen, which Watchmen's already hokey, but you know what I mean? Like it's
same idea.
It's like a Justice League type group of people who are just, you know, pulling it together again.
Weird things about this movie too is that when I'm watching it, they played the Smash Mouth song.
Yeah.
The All-Star. And it just
which is on Shrek. I mean, that shit was everywhere back then. Oh my God, you couldn't get away from that.
And I swear to that it was, but I want to say it was part of this movie. It was like, I think it was made for this movie. Because when they played it, I wanted to say, I remember Ben Stiller being in a music video for it, dressed as this that stupid character.
Maybe, but I don't know if it was made just for this movie.
Or I'm sorry, if it was on the soundtrack of the movie.
Right.
If it was
released maybe on the soundtrack.
Contingently. But I mean, still, you look at this kind of thing, you go, I just wonder if it had done a little bit better. But this must have been an original property because I don't remember seeing any of these characters ever. Is this a?
I don't know if there's any other thing of Mystery Men. Yeah, is there like a comic book? I don't know.
Just some fan fiction out there.
Just my own. Yeah.
If you're out there writing fan fiction for Mystery Men, I'm gonna smack the shit out of you.
Well, I just do it. You know, it interplays with my Janine Garofalo fan fiction.
I know you wrote The Truth About Cats and Dogs too.
Oh my God, that is a bad movie.
Yes, sir.
Do not watch.
No, but Garofalo is funny in this.
She's great in it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, especially when she's constantly correcting Stiller. I forgot that I used to like Janine Garofalo at one point. Not the biggest fan anymore. You know, you've got this.
She's nearly not in anything anymore, to be fair. But yeah, there was a bit of a falling out. I don't know where it was, but 90s Janine Garofalo, I like.
Yeah, me as well. So yeah, I guess I kind of recommend Mystery Men on that. I don't know. I went back and I gave it a better liking than I did originally. And you, of course, recommend it.
Yeah.
Rewatch that sucker. It's worth rewatching. I'll say that.
I never seen it in HD, so that'll be worth
your
it.
Your streaming online pick of the week was, say that word again.
I don't know. Restrepo.
There you go. I wasn't going to say that. It's like Tyler Perry's Madea.
Madea.
Madea, there you go. And my online pick of the week is The Expendables 3, because it's the best action movie of last year, and nobody went
best
and saw
movie
it in the theater.
Of last year.
I'm telling you, you're assholes for not going and seeing this movie. Watch.
I'm an asshole for not going to see it.
You are an asshole for not seeing
it. But didn't
you
think, inexcusably, this should have been a piece of shit.
It should have been the first.
There's no excuse for it. This should have been, Expendables 3 should have been horrible. Yeah, this should have been the first one, I know.
It's not. It's anything
but you almost need the first two to make this one. So
to make you appreciate this one?
Yeah, well, not only appreciate, but just so that this one makes sense to make it. I don't know. Just it works.
I it's a great movie. Earlier. I think it's kind of brilliant in a lot of ways, and I know it's.
I just love the idea of a character in an action movie that wakes up to the fact that he's in an action movie. It's fucking brilliant
that he's not going to live forever. He's probably going to die.
He's just like, what the fuck? We can die? Oh, holy shit!
The whole game's been changed now. Oh, goodness. Well, that's up there. Yeah, see Expendables 3. It's on Netflix 3, Hulu, all that stuff. And I believe Joe Dirt 2 is available on Crackle.
I don't know if it's streaming yet, but it'll be on Crackle. I don't know when it was supposed to be on. Maybe it's this month sometime.
I think this coming week. And next week we have the premiere of Sharknado 3, subtitled Oh Hell No. Classic folks at Asylum.
Exactly, because I'm not going to see it. Oh Hell No, I'm not watching it. I don't know how people watch that.
Yeah, I couldn't get through the second one.
Hard to
one.
Watch. I couldn't get through the first one.
First one I saw, but that was just, it was on.
You were forced.
Yeah.
The Clockwork Orange.
To be honest, I think I was in a hotel room, if memory serves, and like you had no DVR, so I couldn't really fast forward or anything. It was just kind of on.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, then that sounds fun. And on that, let's move on to the trailer. Actually, let's take a break, and then we'll come back with our trailer addict.
Proud member of the LAM Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
All right, guys. So we need to record our top three reasons why you should listen to French Toast Sunday podcast.
Number three should definitely be our diverse opinions.
Number two should probably be our top three lists that we do every week.
No, it's got to be Mark Wahlberg.
What about Gwyneth Paltrow's head?
It's got to be Fighting the Sadness in the Swamp of Sadness.
Full Frontal.
Stories about being lost at sea.
Brendan Fraser being underground.
Helen Mirren's boobs.
Baltimore accents as heard in The Wire.
Wunderklaus.
Crepes.
Character studies.
Wait, guys. What about movies?
Nah. Tree rape.
Hmm.
Tree rape? Yeah, I like tree rape.
Tune in every Friday for a new episode of French Toast Sunday podcast brought to you by us at FrenchToastSunday.com.
Would it be weird if it was brought to you by someone else?
Mm.
What was that?
I want somebody to bring me French toast right now.
Mm.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Who are you thinking about? Amber Heard?
Mm. God, I love her. Mm. I want to hose her down, though. She's a little dirty.
She got that Johnny Depp stank on her?
Thank you, right? No, they both just look like they're greasy as fuck. It's like, yeah. Somebody wash your hair. Between the two of you, somebody take a shower this week.
Okay. Oh, we got to do the captain. Yeah, you're right.
Shit.
My bad.
Commandeer this ship, Captain. Permission to come aboard.
Trailers can be wondrous things. Giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for Trailer Addict.
Now, are you prepared for the Trailer Addict? That's my question.
Yeah, my veins are prepped. I'm ready to inject the trailers directly into my bloodstream.
He's mainlining trailers now.
I am an addict.
Well, I'm starting to become addicted to this idea of Batman versus Superman because initially, the first trailer I thought was okay. At least it had some good imagery.
Yeah.
This thing that they premiered at Comic-Con, excuse me. I hate to say it's mind-blowing, but god damn, I had no idea I wanted
to
see this Batman.
It's not mind-blowing because it's just like every other trailer we've seen, but finally it looks just as good as every other movie, right?
Right, it looks like a real movie now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still not quite sure on the specifics, but yeah, I'm totally down at this point. If it's going to be like this, it's like, oh shit. Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
even really great liking imagery, Henry great. Cavill as Superman all of a sudden. I saw him in that suit and I was like, yeah, there's Superman. And then Affleck is Batman. I'm thinking, why didn't we figure this out earlier? This makes sense to me.
I don't know. It's still such a It's still hard to judge from this trailer for me. I agree with you. This looks tons better than the first one and really makes you want to go see it. It looks like a summer blockbuster now. Yeah. To the point where you just know it's going to be fun. Even if it's bad, you know you're still going to enjoy the shit out of it.
I didn't like the shot of Wonder Woman with the bubble thing that she created.
Oh, my God. Why every shot of Wonder Woman looks so bad in this?
And I didn't...
CGI was horrible.
I'm a little worried that last shot where the Batman and Superman face off together is going to be like the last shot of the movie and it's to be continued or some shit like that. And it's all lead up to then. A little concerned about that, but I loved... some of the imagery.
You just ruined my day with that.
I absolutely loved, you know, him holding the girl, you know, Batman or Ben Affleck running down the street as the buildings are crumbling. I loved Superman in there.
Why are they fighting?
Because I believe...
I mean, Lex Luthor seems to be setting them up.
I believe the collateral damage from the fight in the first one, Wayne Enterprise employees get killed and Wayne Enterprise tower goes down. I believe from what I saw in this. And I think that he's blaming Superman on the deaths of all these people from that first film. And we had that. Sure. That's what I'm getting, at least from the trailer. Now, maybe I'm just totally extrapolating the wrong things.
Could be right.
That's what I kind of got from that. Now, I love Eisenberg in this, though. Tell me that the red capes are coming thing. I mean, this just works, man. He works in that role.
Yeah. Who's blackmailing Batman then? They're not blackmailing him, but, you know, fucking with him. That's got to be Lex Luthor, right?
Or somebody.
Or the Joker.
But like, there's also a very quick shot of Jeffrey Dean Morgan in this, who obviously Snyder has a relationship. He could be playing anybody that could be in that capacity, you know what I mean? Or setting this all up for a standalone Batman movie. It could be the Joker. You know, who knows?
It's very weird because this – well, obviously we have Suicide Squad. And these – they're probably going to do something with that. From what I've heard with Comic-Con and stuff, it sounds like there may be some hidden things in this trailer and in that trailer that ties the two together. But we haven't seen... I refuse to watch the Deadpool or the Suicide Squad, you know, off someone's cell phone.
Yeah, there's not a clear trailer yet. Yeah, so. That's why we're not reviewing it yet, because he's just really... The only thing that's clearly come out is the Batman vs. Superman trailer at this point. Their shot of Jeremy Irons as Alfred Pennyworth... Did it not look like Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark? I thought, what the fuck is Robert Downey Jr. doing in this?
I didn't think that.
You didn't wreck? Oh, man. No. First thing I thought was, goodness, what is that all about? But this trailer, I think, is – if this doesn't win Comic-Con, then they got a lot of good stuff coming out there.
I don't know if you can win Comic-Con.
I think this won at Comic-Con. I think it broke the internet.
Yeah, this has to be blowing up right now. It does. It looks really good. So
it does.
I just hope that they do it right. Cause we don't know why really they're fighting so far and this could be really dumb. I hope they do it right. Cause if you're Batman, you don't, and Superman, you know, and you're fighting, there has to be a good reason, right? There has to be.
Yeah.
And you certainly can't be fooling Batman or goading him into fighting Superman, right? Cause then Batman's just a fucking idiot.
Oh man, God! You just gave me gave me doubt. This whole thing's gonna be about like him following his rage and not his intellect. That's the whole thing, you know. Like, great.
Yeah, which could be, if done correctly, could be good. But I don't know if I trust them.
That sounds like a lumbering Nolan type experience, and I'm not down with that.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen. Well, that's the only thing I figure out with Lex Luthor being in the mix. You know that he's. Because the movie's called Batman versus Superman, and, you know, here's fucking Wonder Woman and Lex Luthor. And you're like, well, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Just fucking around.
Aside from, yeah, being Lex Luthor-y and with some commentary on the side.
What do you think about this Goosebumps trailer? Based on the children's...
I think it's Jumanji. I think this is what you do when you don't have an idea for how to make something into a movie.
This is Jumanji, straight up. Yeah. I mean... So close to Jumanji, it's and also the Brendan Fraser one from a couple years back.
Yeah, I think with the book, right?
Yes, exactly.
I don't remember what that was called, but it reminded me of that too, just because things come out of books in this.
But the same kind of whimsical thing, although
sure. I mean, this doesn't look bad. To be fair,
it doesn't look bad at all.
Like it would be a fun, you know, kids release and stuff, and I would certainly watch it.
I think if you're 10 to 13, this is probably going to be right in your wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of the Monster Squad in some places too.
Yeah.
But what's up with Jack Black in these quasi kid literary? Remember Gilligan's Island? Not Gilligan's Island. Gulliver's Travels. Thank you.
Gilligan's Island. He'd be the skipper, man.
Yeah, he is going to be in that. They do that.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. How is he getting in this? I don't know.
The trailer was okay, but like you said, this is kind of the go-to formula if you can't figure out how to bring something to the screen. You're just, oh, we'll just do the Jumanji thing.
It looks like it works here, so I can't really, you know, say too much about it. But yeah, it does kind of cast doubt on, you know, it just tells you that this isn't going to be anything great. It's going to be exactly what you saw in the trailer. There's nothing hidden in here. You know, this isn't Batman versus Superman. We're like, what's going on? What's happening? No, you know.
This is exactly.
I've seen the movie practically. I've seen the trailer.
A decent trailer though. Fine though.
Strangely enough, good.
We're both.
I like the special effects. I like the. It looks like it's fun. Yeah. Well, at least it's clear that it's for kids. So with that in mind, you like okay. You know the level and what to expect. So.
A little fun. You know, I guess horror Halloween.
Yeah, it feels like a Night at the Museum type vibe a little bit. Jumanji. Doesn't look as good necessarily as Jumanji or not. Jumanji was kind of adult, really, when you think about it. This doesn't look like it has any of that in it.
Zathura, even, you know, it comes to mind.
Yeah.
A lot of kind of stuff. Yeah, but hey, decent trailer for what it is. Here's a trailer that I'm a little perplexed about. The Finest Hour. This is a Disney release based on the most daring rescue in Coast Guard history, as they put it in the trailer.
A small boat.
Yeah, it was an oil tanker that.
No. They took a small boat out there.
Right, but it was an oil tanker that gets basically cut in two during a horrific storm. I believe in the 1950s or 60s out in Boston Harbor. Mm-hmm. So this trailer, we got Chris Pine, we got Casey Affleck doing. The Boston accent there with the long O's and A's. And at first, it to me, this comes off as like almost like a spoof of a movie. It took me a second.
Really?
It took me a second watching this trailer to get into it. But ultimately, I was into it. What'd you think about this thing?
I was really into it. I think this looks great.
Disney excels making these kind of movies. Do they not?
I guess. I mean, this is the director of The Million Dollar Arm.
Which is a Disney movie.
And Mr. Woodcock.
Mr. Woodcock is so underrated. I love Mr. Woodcock. Great. Right?
What else does this guy do? He did like Fright Night, I think, that remake.
Yeah, he did, which I thought was good too. I mean, Craig Gillespie has done a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I think that's about all he's done. What else has he done?
I mean, those are enjoyable films we've mentioned there.
Fright Night kind of sucked.
Liked Fright Night.
But really?
I did.
The cast in this is just great. I mean, Chris Pine, Ben Foster, you know, Eric Bana, Casey Affleck, you already said. Great cast. It looks like a really good, just a good drama movie. Exactly what it sounds like. Coast Guard going out there, right? So you got your action on the ocean. Looks good.
If done right, this can catch the same kind of audience that Unbroken did. You know, that kind of... there's an audience for these kind of movies, these historical war dramas, not war dramas per se, but historical melodramas, I should say.
At least they're going to be doing something. They won't be sitting there.
Yeah, you did not care for Unbroken.
They just sit there.
Well, this does not look like anybody just sitting there. This looks like they got some good special effects sequences in here, too. So I'd be down for this one.
Yeah, it looks good. I mean, I'd watch it. I don't know if I'll see it in theaters. It seems like a nice at-home movie.
I don't know. I think the big screen might be okay with the sound, you know, for this kind of thing. Yeah. This looks like a tearjerker. I'll say that. Somebody's going to be dying in here.
In every Chris Pine movie, I cry. So,
you too.
So sad.
I thought it was just me. I was so upset when Reese Witherspoon chose Tom Hardy. It pissed me off.
Fuck that guy.
Exactly.
Nobody I was sad when Kirk's dad died.
Kirk's dad died? I haven't seen part two yet.
It wasn't the first one.
Oh. Let's move on to talk about Boulevard. This is Robin Williams' final screen performance being released, a Dito Montiel film, a director that I like quite a bit. Interviewed him a while back. He's in New York. Basically, all of his films are set in New York. He's a Woody Allen type filmmaker in the sense that I swear to God, the setting of his movies seep into his movies in a lot of ways.
It may or may not include Channing Tatum.
Yeah, no, he basically discovered Channing Tatum, Vito Montiel, we're talking about the director. But here he works with Robin Williams in what ultimately is his final performance. And Williams is playing what appears to be a secretly closeted gay man who's been married for 25 plus years and gets involved with a young street hustler, basically. And this trailer isn't a great trailer by any means, but it looks like Williams is good in it. But that's to be expected in these kind of movies, I thought.
That's kind of been the Robin Williams thing as of late, is that the movie is typically...
It falters around
okay,
him.
But he's just dead on fucking great.
Which is looks like the case here. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. The story looks so basic. I don't know if there's any twist to this or not, but it just looks so simple.
Yeah, marriage of convenience. The wife finally coming to grips that she maybe something's going on.
Yeah, I don't know what's left to tell after you watch this trailer. I'm not sure. You know, I you can get the details by watching the movie, but we've seen the broad strokes here. So I don't know where, you know, if it's worth it to see the movie or not. But yeah, he looks great in it.
Yeah, he does. And I did like this scene, you know, where he's at the dinner table with his friend and he's got the black eye, obviously.
Which shot for, well. You know, Dito Montiel has a really good eye for framing eye for and stuff. Yeah, I really love it. So,
yeah, that looks especially great. Even when he was just doing a U-turn, I got a very Michael Mann Collateral type vibe, you know, how he shot L.A. So he's kind of shooting New York in the same way. But yeah, the trailer is okay. But once again, Williams looks like he's hitting a home run. So,
yeah, I would watch The Angriest Man in Brooklyn. Which was really good before I'd watch this.
Yeah.
It has Mila Kunis in it, so you should like it.
Sold. All right, next we can talk about I Am Chris Farley, the documentary that is being released about the life of the late comedian. Basically, Chris all the Saturday Night Farley. Live people and all of his former friends look like they show up to talk about this. And even though it appears to be a Talking Heads documentary, I mean, I don't know about you, but I laughed a couple times just watching this trailer.
I love Chris. It immediately makes me want to watch Tommy Boy and
right, me too.
Everything. I forgot how much I love Chris Farley when you see this, and just like the fucking air quotes and shit are funny. That alone, I don't even care what he's saying. Just the fucking, just his whole stick is just hysterical.
The Bob Saget crying bit, the bit where the guy says, you know, he looked at
it. Yeah, and it looks like a good movie as well, right?
We get to do this for the rest of our lives. I mean, that kind deep, of, so yeah, it's great. I can't wait to watch this.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be, you know, they make these every once in a while and they're just like, they're interesting to watch, but this one actually looks really good.
Yeah, it's not just a puff piece, it doesn't look like. I mean, they're talking candidly about the guy's life, so. Mm-hmm. And like you said, even the air quotes and the characters on here, the bits on Carson, I mean, all that kind of stuff, and Letterman, it cracked me up watching this stuff. So, and it does what a good documentary trailer is supposed to do. It makes you want to watch the guy's entire filmography.
I know.
Yeah, which is only a few movies.
It makes you want to pull up old Saturday Night Lives.
Yeah. Never a bad idea. I love Chris Farley.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think there's anyone in our generation that doesn't like Chris Farley. You know, it's unbelievable. And his movies weren't that big. You know, this wasn't like he was coming out.
Well, Tommy Boy was really, I mean, Tommy Boy was obviously kind of his movie big thing. But to be fair, he died so early.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, he had shit lined up and he was going to be the voice of Shrek before Mike Myers came in. You know, they had a good, I mean, it would be awesome. You didn't know that? Yeah, no. They had like... almost the entire movie dialogue is done by him. They have like, so somewhere there could be a cut of Shrek with Chris Farley's voice.
Oh, that'd be great.
They're missing like 10% or something of it. So, I mean, come on, with computers, can't you fill that in? Can I get a Chris Farley version of Shrek just to see what that sounds like?
That's going to be like on the next Blu-ray release, you know, special edition. But he did, you know, he'd have movies too that were not doing all that well. He had Black Sheep, didn't do all that particularly well. Lost and Found didn't really do all that. Although Lost and Found,
he wasn't really in that. That was about David Spade.
But that he was supposed to be him and Farley. So I took that back before he died. But it was the one with, was it Almost Heroes?
Yeah. Or Wagons East? No, Almost Heroes?
Almost Heroes. It was Wagons East is the John Candy one.
Speaking that was of the other. John Candy one, yeah. So interesting, right?
Yeah, wow, that's a Freudian slip there. but I just think that, like, you know, none of his movies were Jim Carrey size hits, and yet the guy's legacy is.
But he could have been on his way. Like I say, Shrek could have been the thing that you know,
propelled
jumped him up, yeah, into the thing, because Shrek is huge, obviously. So I don't know. Or it could have been, you know, it could have been horrible with Chris Farley as well, for all I know. Maybe he needed Mike Myers.
Yeah, right. It was never going to be what it was.
Yeah.
Mike Myers saved that.
That's why I want to see it. You know, just to see, just to watch Shrek performed by Chris Farley would be interesting.
I hope they put that in the documentary. That'd be a nice little tidbit. But this documentary does look fascinating. Coming out later this summer, I believe, in cinemas, and then premiering on Stars after that. So check it out. Also on Stars is the television show coming this Halloween, Ash versus the Evil Dead, starring Bruce Campbell with all the creative team back behind the camera. Although this will be an event series, this will not be a movie.
What'd it's you 10 think episodes.
What'd you think about the trailer?
So I think this looks so fucking fun.
I think this looks great.
And just, I it has Sam Raimi screaming throughout it.
How did they get the tone back so quickly?
Oh, I mean,
from the first joke to the last shot, you're like, it looks like they haven't. I just literally watched Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness yesterday, and it looks like they haven't spent any time away from the franchise. They knit it right on.
Yeah, I mean, but a lot of that has to do with Bruce Campbell is just never changing.
Right.
Right. Bruce Campbell is Bruce Campbell. So put him back in this and you just kind of build the Evil Dead world around him. It's perfect.
This is the writing. The writing, even in the trailer.
Great. The fucking stunt, the gags are great.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought, I can't wait to see this.
Me too. This is not something that I was eagerly anticipatedly waiting. This trailer's been out for a few days and I haven't even taken a look at it before we went on air. We watched this.
Yeah, me as well.
And I just thought, wow, I can't wait to see this now. This is like top priority on what I'm going to watch in this new television season.
Yeah.
And Campbell is such a character that he spits these lines in such a way that it's almost Harrison Ford Han Solo-esque, but he's such a pussy that it comes through too, know. You know? And he's so self-deprecating in a lot of ways, you know, at the cardio, you know, and one is this and two is I got to do some cardio because my heart is, what do you say, jackhammering more than a quarterback on prom night?
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. Great writing.
There's I don't know if this is streaming or not. I should look. There's a wonderful movie called My Name is Bruce. Have you seen this?
Is that the documentary about his life?
It's not a documentary. It's a movie about him. But they so he's just playing himself. He's Bruce Campbell. He's this B-movie guy. But there's this small town that thinks that their town is like haunted and shit. And they think he's real. They really think he's Ash from the Evil Dead.
Oh, so this is Three Amigos.
And they capture him to come. But it's better that he's fucking hysterical in it. Yeah, it's like very similar to like Three Amigos idea. Yeah.
Well done.
Surprisingly. Well done. I really liked it. I thought it was very funny.
He's had a oddball career too. I mean, this is a guy really who's not a good actor, yet he's been in a lot of stuff. And I think lately he was on Burn Notice for years, making a living doing that.
That was his big paycheck.
When you say a lot of Sam Raimi touches in this trailer, what are you referring to?
The gags, you know, the camera moves. Watch any Sam Raimi, but you know, watch Spider-Man 2 and compare it to this. A lot of very similar camera moves. There was a Sam Raimi movie that I really liked, and I can't remember the name of now.
Drag Me to Hell.
Drag Me to Hell. Yeah, a lot very similar to that as well. So the direction just looks dead on with Sam Raimi's direction. I don't know if he directed any of these, but you can tell he's at the helm.
My only fear on that is that this is all shots from the pilot and not really anything to, you know,
that kind of looks like it. Now that you said that.
That's my only fear, because I hope they don't put the whole production budget into this first episode to get everyone on board. And then, you know, the remaining or middle eight are terrible.
Sure.
But that's my only concern.
Well, I hope not. It looks great. At least I'll get one great episode then.
Right. You'll get the Evil Dead sequel you always wanted.
I like the second. I actually like all the Evil Deads.
So do I. I mean, the first one's hard to go back and watch nowadays. It's so dated.
Mm-hmm. But it's still interesting. I think it's an interesting watch.
I think you started part two. Someone did.
Yeah, part two is clearly... Well, part two is a remake.
Right. It's it's the soft reboot back in the day.
Yeah. And, of course, Army of Darkness is just awesome.
Army of Darkness is awesome. And that was on last night on the El Rey Network, I was telling you. And it was a great thing to be watching in the background while you're barbecuing. And just a good thing to have on. Love Army of Darkness. And that's when Sam Raimi was struggling. I mean, even Darkman.
And which Raimi was supposed I like Darkman.
Raimi was supposed to do The Shadow, and they wouldn't let him do him, so he wrote Darkman. I would like to have seen what Sam Raimi could have done with The Shadow. But The Shadow does know.
He fucking knows, man.
The Shadow doesn't get enough credit. I like that movie.
I like The Shadow, too.
I just recently got that
special. And I like Darkman.
I like The Shadow more than I like Darkman, though.
Yeah, they're probably both about the same, really.
Speaking of, there is a Liam Neeson cameo in Ted 2 that really works.
Does he pull his face off? Does it melt off?
No, but I want you to watch it. I want you to watch it badly. Pull his face off.
I want to watch it badly. Yeah, there's a line Dark Man, his face falls off. He's got a certain
every 99
amount of time.
Minutes. Yeah.
He's got to get the fuck out of there. He's going to, you know, he can't fuck the girl. He's got to leave.
What a great excuse, but I got to go. My face
doesn't,
is going
to melt. He doesn't want her to know that he's Dark Man. Did you ever see the sequels?
I saw 2 and 3.
Darker Man? Yeah.
And Darkest Man? those weren't bad. They had Jeff Fahey was in the third one.
They're not bad, but they're not good.
No, they're the typical...
They're fun, though, to be fair.
Direct-to-DVD sequel made by Universal in the 90s, like Beastmaster 3, we were talking about recently. And
it's still fun, yeah.
And
not good, but fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they should have done sequels to it that were theater quality, but really,
well, it was such a B movie. You know, it just never caught. Sam Raimi can't, I don't think, is very commercial, right? Obviously, aside from Spider-Man, he's in a couple other things. He's anything that he kind of does that he really wants to do is very B movie, it's very low key.
He's just got that's in his roots. I mean, I think that's like he's got very different tastes. But that's why I think Spider-Man 1 worked so well, although I think you like part 2 quite a bit, don't you? And no one likes 3.
I mean, Spider-Man just has so many, even the new one has problems, you know. Spider-Man's just, you want it to be good. And it is, but I don't know. There's problems. There's issues there.
You got issues over here.
We
actually have no issues because we have no more trailers to talk about today. We did a very
light stuff to talk about.
We got a light show for y'all this evening.
Yeah.
Well, no, Riot, don't
You know what a great Sam Raimi movie is? Actually, know For Love of the Game, right?
I love that.
That movie is a really good movie. If you haven't seen For Love of the Game, about Kevin Costner is a pitcher and he pitches a perfect game. And it's wonderfully intercut with his life, which normally I think that shit gets boring, but not in this movie. I like
not in that movie. And that movie has got a great subtle touch to it. We talked about Big Eyes, Burton directing, you know, kind of lightly. There's not a Sam Raimi touch in that.
Not really. Because when you think of other things that aren't like The Quick and the Dead, it's very Sam Raimi, and it's a Western.
Yeah,
not a horror movie. So yeah, he does do that with other movies. But yeah, For Love of the Game's pretty straight up. Good movie, though.
I also think, my goodness, I cannot recall the name of it. You got to help me here. Bill Paxton, Billy Bob Thornton. The Gift, maybe?
Yeah, The Gift.
The Gift, was it? Where they find the package in the car?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it A Simple Plan? I can't recall. Was it The Gift? What do they call it? The Simple Plan. I can't recall. My goodness.
Where they...
they come across the money in the back of the car.
No, The Gift is the one with where she sees things, right?
Yeah, it's the Katie Holmes one. I'm talking about
The boobies.
This is A Simple Plan.
Simple Plan, yeah.
Bill Paxton and Billy Bob Thornton with Sam Raimi did, which is very, very well
I never
done.
Saw A Simple Plan.
Oh, that was a good movie.
Is Reese Witherspoon in that? No.
That's Best Laid Plans.
I think that's Best Laid Plans. Yes, that is that one. That's a good one, too.
Is it Simple Plan? No, I'm really
Simple Plan.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Because the gift is the one, is like you say, with the one with Katie Holmes. She shows her boobies if you ever want to see Katie Holmes' boobies.
Oh, thank God. This is what I've been waiting for.
They're not the most amazing things, I got to admit. They're, it's a bit of a letdown.
All this time you've been waiting and this is what you get?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
They're a little, you know, I don't know.
Raimi's also produced a lot of weird shit. He's been producer on like Hard Target, which is bizarre to me.
Hmm.
It's a bunch of random Universal shit, you know? He has his name attached to things.
Oh, this is... Billy Bob Thornton wrote The Gift?
Billy Bob Thornton wrote The Gift?
I'm going down a rabbit hole here. Apparently. I didn't know that. That is interesting. He must have written in Katie Holmes shows her boobs.
And then she shows tits.
He's a sick fuck. You know it.
I think he's hilarious.
He's great.
I honestly think that Billy Bob Thornton is one of our most underrated comedians. I think it's hilarious.
Okay, well, we're 5 minutes shy of an hour. You know, we made it.
We did it. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. If you want a longer show, go back and listen to one of our old shows. They're all over iTunes, TalkShoe, Podbean, wherever the hell else you may be getting your fucking cast.
Flick your Podbean. Yeah.
Go ahead and go home and flick that Podbean while you're listening to us. We want to thank you guys for joining us on episode 275. We got a real special episode coming up in a couple weeks when we hit that 300 mark. Could be a couple weeks, could be 3 years. We don't really know how long it's going to be, but we got a real good one coming up for you then. We're planning out. So stick with us and continue to listen to our back episodes and join MovieMavericks.com and BoxOfficeAce.com in that prediction game. Speaking for my man, Trevor Anderson, I'm your boy, Jason Rugard, and we are the Movie Mavericks.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to MovieMavericks.com, Warp 9. Engage!